Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Sunday, which celebrates the Ascension of the Lord. Today, we'll be reflecting on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about the meaning of the Ascension. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations will present Explore, a discernment retreat, July 28th through August 1st at Camp Zephyr at Lake Corpus Christi. Explore is a summer experience for young men who want to understand their faith better, know themselves better, and make new friends. Catholic young men who are enrolled in high school or who will be enrolling this fall, as well as recent high school graduates, are invited to participate and to explore. The staff will consist of priests, deacons, seminarians, and others considering a vocation to the priesthood. The Office of Vocations is waiting for your call, 882-6191. This weekend retreat will help you decide whether or not the priesthood is what God wants for you. 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very good, Barbara. And you?
And I'm doing well. It's hard to believe that this is the first Sunday of June.
Yes, we are in the summer season, although it's not officially summer yet, but it seems like it.
It does seem like it. It seems like Memorial Days gets hotter and hotter each time.
It does.
Well, this is a special Sunday. Our reading today is in regards to the Ascension, not the seventh Sunday of Easter, in case some of our listeners might be a little confused about that this morning.
Right. There are only, I think, three or four states or provinces, we call them, in the church, New York, Pennsylvania, that maintain the Ascension of the Lord, the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord on Thursday, which is the proper time, 40 days after the resurrection. However, because of other reasons of busy schedules and the importance of this day to celebrate it as a community, the rest of the U.S. has decided to keep it on Sunday. So we're celebrating the Ascension of the Lord on Sunday, not the seventh Sunday readings, if you see those.
Very good. So our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew. So please let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. When Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, it seems like in many of these gospel readings that lots of important things happen on the mountain.
Yes, it is. It's not by mistake, really, that the mountain is significant, beginning with the roots of our faith in the Christian tradition, rooted in our Jewish, the faith of our Jewish brothers and sisters, and the fact that Jesus himself was Jewish. And, of course, the symbol of the mountain for Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, is really a very significant event in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that on that mountain Moses went up and received the commandments of God, received that that mandate of God for his people to follow these commandments. And so there we have a beginning. We also see in the life of Jesus that he was tempted, and he was taken on the mountaintop and looked over all the world as part of his kingdom, you know, from the devil, and he would offer him, as if he could, offer all these things. The Beatitudes, the really the mandate of being Christian, to be peacemakers, to be people of justice, to be people who are holy and single-hearted. The Beatitudes were on a mountain, and also the Transfiguration of the Lord was on a mountain. Mount Tabor is signified as the one, as the mountain. And there Jesus was transfigured in front of his disciples. So now at the ascension, as the Lord returns, it's another important place, the mountain where he called his disciples there to witness his return to the Father. So the mountain in the life of Christianity and Judaism is very, very important.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, that when the disciples went to the mountain, you know, they saw Jesus, they worshiped, but they doubted. You know, after spending so much time with Jesus, I thought that was interesting that they doubted.
Well, it's significant because, what you're saying is very true, because it is a little bit of a development here, though.
Right.
You know, when Jesus came through the locked doors and appearing to them and saying, "Peace be with you," I mean, they were first frightened. But here, at least they worshiped. They realized that they were in front of their Redeemer. And so they worshiped, but they doubted. The doubt, I would definitely correlate with the absence of the Holy Spirit yet, that they had not been given the Spirit. The Spirit, as we'll hopefully talk about next Sunday with Pentecost, was given by Jesus as gift, but had not really been manifested to them, and they had not received that Spirit as at Pentecost. So the doubt is still there, and we're going to talk more about that next week, how the Spirit brings us to a fullness of faith. And so I think there's still that human and divine struggle there. They worship because they knew this was the one that they were awaiting, and yet there was still the doubt of, why is he leaving us? What are we going to do next? I think the doubt was probably, we doubt for different reasons.
And will he come back again?
Yes. He said he was going to come back again. Is he really going to come back? And so, you know, I think in a very simple way, it's a very human response, too, because there was that other element of the Spirit not yet bestowed upon them, mm-hmm. we might say.
Well, and when I was looking into this, this being Matthew's account of the gospel, I had read that in the beginning and the end of all of Matthew's gospels, he speaks to the risen, ascended Christ remaining with us. First, that was at the Annunciation. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And that was in his first chapter, verse 23. And
right.
So now we have, again, you know, this is one of his last chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of interesting that he starts and he ends with the risen Christ. Matthew does.
Yes, right. And that fact that "I am with you always until the end of the ages" has always been for the church a sense of deep encouragement. And, you know, St. Augustine, in one of his sermons, says that when the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, left heaven, he never left, even though he came to earth. And as he ascended into heaven, he never left. He stayed. And yet he ascended. So I won't say it's a play on words, but it's certainly a reality that what Jesus gave us and what the Holy Spirit's role is for us is to always be present to us. And I think if you look back a few verses before that, where Jesus says that full authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, then what is he really saying to us? That he has that universal authority, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And too often, I think, in our approach to faith, that we push our faith just to a corner, or we pull it out whenever we need it, as though it's some kind of a helper in only in times of need. But when we look at what Jesus is saying, and of course at the end of the liturgical year, we crown him as Christ the King, the universal King. And so we've got to look at this idea that this is our Savior, and that he has that full authority. Where does that authority reside? It resides in his word. If we look at his word, that it is meant for all. It is meant for people who seek justice. It is meant for those who maybe not have a religious faith but have a desire to be humanitarians and to aid people who seek justice, who seek to feed the poor, to clothe the hungry, to bring about peace. All those efforts are also found in the Word of God given to us by Jesus Christ. And so, again, He is there as our universal authority for all peoples. The Second Vatican Council used to speak about seeds of the truth, seeds of Christ in all religions, that if it coincides with what we, what the gospel, what Jesus says, then it's also, you know, part of that authority of God, the authority of Christ that is there. So we can find that truth everywhere. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, He's left us, but He's not left us because right. of the power of His Word, which again, the Holy Spirit will bring to life in all of us. And He also there commissions the apostles, the disciples to go to the end, to go to all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the three, which will then set us up for 2 weeks from now on the Feast right. of the Holy Trinity. But commissioning the disciples and the apostles to go and to bring His Word to all peoples, to bring them to God. I mean, ultimately, Christ came to redeem us and to unite us to God and to one another. And so that authority is the authority of His Word to bring justice, to bring peace to all peoples.
Well, it was a small, I say not a small gospel, it was a short gospel, but it did have many messages to it. And you talked about the message about the baptism and the missionary mandate. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, so he talked about, and with baptism, of course, and it's been several weeks since Easter, we had that baptismal creed that baptism's given in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we were rebaptized ourselves on Easter.
Right. We renewed our baptismal promises on Easter. We renew them as a recommitment mm-hmm. To live this this life that Christ has brought us. As Christians, and to promote mm-hmm. that life. And so it's a task, you know. It's not something that is some kind of a formula that we get as some kind of struggling for the words, but, you know, it's not like a magical formula.
Oh, a blueprint.
A blueprint that I just follow, and life just goes on the way I want it to go, mm-hmm. and, by the way, the icing on the cake is that I'm baptized. No.
Right.
I'm baptized, and because of that, I have a serious responsibility to live my life as Christ, to be transformed into this life so that we can make a difference in the world, bringing peace, justice, and love. I mean, ultimately, as we talk about so often here, the ultimate truth of life and the ultimate truth at the root of everything Jesus said is love of God and love of neighbor. And so love is always the final authority. In our own personal lives, but also in the life of our world.
And you speak about that so much, and that's something that we need to remember. Those four letters, love.
Right.
You know,
right.
that's kind of our missionary
mandate.
With this
profound meaning, yeah.
It definitely does. All right, we are going to take a short break, and then we will be right back to discuss the Ascension.
When it comes to your children, what are the right values, the right studies, the right programs, the right spiritual, moral, and intellectual upbringing? Enrollment is now in progress for pre-K 2 through 1st grade at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic School, 2237 Walden Road in Corpus Christi. You're invited to call 939-9847 and set an appointment to investigate the school. Visit the campus. Talk with the Dominican sisters who operate the school and discover what is right for your children. 939-9847. It's right next door to St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church on Walden Road in Flower Bluff, Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic School. 939-9847. It's worth investigating.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we'll continue our conversation about the Feast of the Ascension, which of course is today. And I saw that Benedict wrote about the Ascension, and I'm quoting here. He said, "The meaning of Christ's Ascension expresses our belief that in Christ, the humanity we all share has entered into the inner life of God in a new and hitherto unheard of way. It means that man has found an everlasting place in God." And then says, "It would be a mistake if we had interpreted the Ascension as the temporary absence of Christ from the world. Rather, we go to heaven to the extent that we go to Jesus Christ and enter into him. Heaven is a person. Jesus himself is what we call heaven." Mm-hmm. A lot to think about there.
Wow.
In just those few sentences.
That's why we, as when we are being trained, we have to study philosophy, because there's a lot of philosophical concepts there of the humanity presence on earth, and yet the metaphysical in,
right,
in God,
exactly.
But also that the profound theology that's there. You know, people still hang on to ideas of, well, heaven is a place and heaven is this and
right.
heaven is that. And you know, it obviously is a place if we're there. But when the Pope really brings it out to say heaven is a person,
right,
the person of Jesus, Jesus himself is what we call heaven, then we can see truly that it is our relationship with him that already takes us into heaven, that we have to live in heaven. In fact, it is St. Augustine again that says that as Christ has risen, we must go with him in our hearts. In other words, we embrace him constantly in our life. He is the meaning of our life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that, and then says, where I am, that you also may be. So there's all of these scriptural references to the fact of what the Pope is saying to us, that Christ is our heaven. And so for that reason, he needed to ascend into heaven to not only prepare a place for us, but to be our heaven in that sense.
And it is a different way of thinking. If we were thinking of heaven as a place to see Jesus, mm-hmm. if we think of Jesus as heaven, it's we're going to see Jesus.
Well, it's relationship. You
right.
know, it's, I don't know how any of us really conceptualizes heaven as place, but maybe it's, heaven where I can still have my own house and my own dog and my own pets and my own sports and my own garden and whatever concepts we put around that.
Free of pain.
Right. and we may, with that kind of an approach, we may shortchange the fact that heaven is relationship. Mm-hmm. It is communion, which is what we speak about so much today. It's communion with God. It's communion with Christ. It's communion with all the saints who have gone before us. And so it's first and foremost a relationship. And who has united us in relationship is Christ. You know, he's come
exactly.
to bring us together in that prayer at the end of his life in the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel, where he says, "Father, may they all be one. As you and I are one, so may they be one in us. I living in them, you living in me, that they may be one so that the world may believe." And so even here on earth, our faith is about communion, the communion that is brought about by love that we spoke about. And so it's this love for God, first and foremost, love of Christ, adherence to Christ, mm-hmm. to his word, etc., that really brings us heaven on earth in that sense. And so that for that reason, we can say, as St. Augustine says, he ascended, but he didn't leave us. And he came down from heaven, but he didn't leave heaven. And so it's this relationship in Christ, who is both God and man. And then, you know, when we think, well, why did Jesus have to leave?
Exactly. Why did he have to ascend?
I think at the break you were asking me that. Why did he have to ascend? Why did he have to go? Well, again, Jesus had a corporal body. He was incarnated. So God in the flesh came to us, and so he took on our human nature. He took on our corporal nature, or our corporal being, in the sense that he had a body. And bodies, you know, as ours, is limited to time and space. So I can't be here in Corpus Christi and be in Singapore at the same time. I'm not spirit in that sense. I may want to be, in spirit, but in body I can't do that. And so even Jesus taking on our full humanity cannot be two places at one time as a human being. Okay, so in order to be present to all, he had to ascend back to the Father, taking our humanity with him in his body, his risen body and transformed body, but still his body. It's a human body. So takes that into heaven, and then the Spirit comes, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does not have body, and so can be present to all of us. It is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the relationship of the Father and the Son, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks on Trinity Sunday. That's why the church has these beautiful feasts all together to fill out the picture of the death and resurrection of Christ, the ascension, and then who we are in the Trinity. So that will come up in a couple of weeks. But he ascended into heaven to remove that the corporal part of his life, so that the Spirit could come and dwell in all of us. As St. Augustine says, and all our hearts need to ascend with him. And that's why at Mass, and I think this is why we need to always look at the beautiful prayers that we say, and probably we say them without ever thinking about what are we saying. When the priest says just before the preface, lift up your hearts, we have lifted them up to the Lord. That's the invitation, to lift them up with the Lord, to the Lord, so that he is the one for whom we live and from whom we receive our meaning, etc. In fact, in another place, for some reason we're quoting St. Augustine today, mm-hmm. but in another place, St. Augustine says that you cannot pray unless you lift your heart up. Because without lifting our hearts up, again, kind of an ascending ourselves, our own ascension, is the ascension of our heart, we can't pray. We may end up asking for things for ourselves, but what is prayer but the lifting up of our prayers, our needs, our adoration, our glory, our praise, lifting all that up to God. And so in that sense, we have to ascend with our hearts up to with Christ to enter into his heaven. So all of that is part of what Benedict is saying when he says that Christ Jesus is our heaven and that we go to heaven with him. You also find in the preface today, there is in the there's two prefaces which are read. This is the part right before the Holy Holy at Mass. There are two of them. The first one says that Christ is the mediator between God and man, judge of the world, and Lord of all. He has passed beyond our sight, not to abandon us, but to be our hope. There again, our hope means that our humanity, because Christ, being God, in becoming a human in the body, assumes all of us in that. In his humanity, we're all present there. Our humanity is now in heaven with him. And so he has passed beyond the sight, not to abandon us, but to be our hope. And it's also important to understand here we have the ascension of the Lord, and then we have the assumption of the Blessed Mother, who was taken body and soul. Again, the fact that a human being, the Mother of Christ, who opened her life to him, also is taken to heaven body and soul, and she too is our hope. And so when we live today with so many people without hope, this Feast of the Ascension is very important for us to recognize our hope, that we are people of hope, because we are people who share in the humanity of Christ, or he shared in ours, and elevated it to the presence in heaven.
So the ascension can't be considered the end. It's the beginning.
Right. And it's not just I think it would be a mistake just to see it as an event.
Right.
It is an event in the life of Christ, but it also has profound theological and practical meaning for us. So it is a pattern. it's a pattern for all of us that we will to follow. And so the preface continues and says, Christ is the beginning. So there, it's not just the end, it's the beginning, the head of the church. Where he has gone, we hope to follow. And so today is really a day that celebrates hope as Christ ascends. You know, many times in people's lives when people that we love leave, we were sad. Different emotions, human emotions come out, and certainly the disciples had that. But it's also the day of hope. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, we can see that the disciples, as the gospel said, bowed down in worship, but then they doubted. They didn't have that gift of hope, that virtue of hope, which the Holy Spirit brings to us.
Just yet. They needed just a yet. Few
and
more.
And so there was that absence in their life. They felt the absence more than the presence because the Holy Spirit had not come, and we wait till next weekend to read about Pentecost Sunday and the Holy Spirit.
And then we'll have the Holy Trinity. So a lot for us to think about, but of course we don't want to forget the last words of the gospel, which said, I am with you always until the end of age.
Right.
And that is the hope.
And that is our hope.
Yeah.
That's our hope.
Beautiful. Bishop, if you could close our segment this morning with a prayer and blessing.
Sure. Let us pray. God, our Savior, hear us, and through this holy mystery, give us hope. That the glory you have given us in Christ will be given to the church, his body, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this beautiful Sunday. Have a good rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.